Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
Inspirational Wednesday brought to you live here on Babylon Talk Radio. I pray that you all can hear me well out there because we were having some technical difficulties a little bit earlier and we're trying to operate in a little bit different capacity, seeing that there's some internet problems. But these are things we as Hebrews are used to because they're always trying to keep this message from getting out. You know, some of you brothers and sisters don't realize that we actually risk our lives bringing you this information and this truth about who we are as a people because it's a matter of national security. And when that time does arise, Many of us don't even realize how much we're going to need each other and to encourage each other and look each other in the eyes and say, be strong, because you will be asked to compromise. Bow down and worship the Antichrist, worship Satan, and worship this world, because this world does not like us at all, what we stand for or what we represent. The way they say it is that our ways are antiquated. That's my grandmother's religion. We don't believe in that anymore. We worship the god Lucifer and technology and Hashatan. And, you know, that's the way this world is going, worshiping science. And there's going to come a time when many will be deceived. The thing is that we don't realize that that time is right around the corner, literally. That's why Hebrews are being so distracted with fighting each other over doctrinal issues, playing the name game, when he's going to come and change the language and the name anyway. Hating each other, coercing others to hate other people, chins and splits and variances. You're playing into the hands of Hashatan. You don't care how many precepts you have and how much awake you think you are. If he's got you participating in that game, then he's successful. He's winning and he's laughing all the way to the bank. The onus is upon us to become grown men and grown women, because the scripture said that when I was a child, I spake as a child. I carried out, performed, and acted like a child. But when I became a grown man, a grown-ass man, I put away childish things. That meant the way that I talk, react, respond, treat others, and treat myself. Most of all, my dedication and commitment to my Savior. Will I begin to take my spirituality serious as well? We hear talk of preachers dropping dead, even preachers in the truth. And we're going to talk about some of that today, because you can't mishandle the word of Yah. I've even had to shake myself, because it's pretty scary to know that he's entrusted you with something so mighty, powerful, and precious. And to not properly propagate these scriptures and do what you're supposed to do, you're messing around with a fearful God, Yah, that will destroy you on the spot. And he'll give us reminders of that from time to time so that we don't take things for granted. Let's go before our Abba in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this midweek celebration and gathering and coming together and studying of the word, a time to encourage and exhort one another. And I pray that these words that are spoken during this short time will find somebody encouraged and blessed enough to go just a little bit further. Father, we need you. Blessed be the ties that bind us. I pray for my brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth, that they find themselves girding up their loins, taking rank, being strong, getting their second win, and repping you to the fullest. Give them strength in their homes and their families and their finances as they're on these plantations working and even just dealing with this life. May they understand that this is the patience of the saints, even we who keep the commandments. Give us the patience we need. Give us the faith that we need. I curse any and all demonic activity and spirits that may be oppressing someone right now, and I speak deliverance into their lives according to the authority and power that you've bestowed upon us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the Ruach HaKadosh and the wisdom that you give us. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Yahoo, so be it. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into it. And before I go any further, let me say Shabbat Shalom to you. Of course, we're joined by, I call him Deacon D, Brother Catino. Are you there, brother?
I'm here. Shalom, Brother B. Shalom to all the Hebrews that decided to join us this morning and listen to the things we're putting forth. And I just want to expound on what you're saying, that yes, we are in this time where we need to be diligent and stay in the Most High's words. And we also, because, you know, I listen to and also I read a lot of the scriptures on my on my iPad, my phone and whatnot. We need to be diligent, make sure that we have those books also in hard copy, because there's come a time they want us to be to get, you know, relying on this stuff, because there's come a time when, you know, we're not going to be able to find this stuff on the internet anymore. They're going to take that away.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we need to be diligent to make sure that we have something else to go to. And, and if I may say, I always like to read my my favorite scripture, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. that sums it all up right there. All of
that's what we're supposed to be doing.
We got to be diligent, brother. We sure do. We have to be diligent. Well, if you're ready to move forward into these scripts, we can get into it. I guess I'll
read
the salutations. Everybody already knows where they are and who we are, so let's keep it pushing. Who we are don't even matter. It's all about who he is. I don't know if you saw those scriptures I put down. Ezekiel 44.
Actually, Ezekiel 44. Let me get there.
Yeah, okay. If you could go to verse 23 and verse 24, we want to read. And let me set this up. This in context, this chapter is talking to the chief priests and how they were to conduct themselves. It even gave them instructions on who they could marry, who they couldn't marry. You see that in the earlier scriptures, what type of seed they were supposed to have from a certain type of wife, but they weren't supposed to contact dead people, these particular priests. It was the Zadok priesthood. Well, actually, but you know, they were the sons of Zadok that were in charge of the sanctuary. But we are of the Melchizedek, order of Melchizedek, and we're in the priesthood ourselves. We all are priests in the earth right now, operating and functioning to reach and teach people. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because this deals a little bit with what we talked about on the Shabbat, how some people were going to celebrate New Year's and then turn around and celebrate the Hebrew New Year and Passover and serving two gods. But the duplicitous aspect of your life is very costly and it's dangerous. You're playing with fire, and I don't want you to continue to do that, because this is why we scratch our heads when we wonder, why did this happen? Why did that person drop dead? I think that the Most High is looking for a quality of people in this hour and seriousness. And let me tell you, although he's going to slay 2/3 of us, he's rooting for us. He's really hoping that we'll make the right decisions and right choices. Scripture says in the epistles, we are compassed with so great a cloud of witness. That means that we have so many witnesses that have gone on before us. They don't know what's happening here on the earth, but they have moved on, and it's as if they are cheering and pulling because they know that there's still things going on the earth, but they have no idea what's happening on the earth. But we have so many to testify to and testify about. And Paul is the only one that really put it down clear and said that we're in a race. So when you think about a race, there are people rooting and cheering in the stands. And those people in the stands are the ones that have gone on before you. Listen, you're in a race. So you can't keep going back and forth and back and forth. It's just not going to work. Before Brother D gets in that scripture, I liken it to what is going on, and I don't want to get off track, but what's going on in our world, well, all these men are being exposed and pulled down and being replaced with women. Well, you know, leading up to that, there was a lot of back and forth of seduction between the two, but at the end, that woman, that Jezebel spirit, she went and told with all this emotion about what happened 20 years ago and tears flowing down her eyes of something that happened 20 years ago like it happened yesterday, but it's a plot, it's a ploy. Listen, I'm not going to talk about that. I can talk about that at another time. Satan sits on the right. Satan is on the hand, on the other hand of the Father, making accusations against us. Every time we make a move, he tells Abba Yah, look, I told you he wasn't worthy. Why do you keep blessing him? Why won't you curse him? Let me have him. Because Satan is making accusations against us totally in the court of law as we jostle around and make and play with this thing, even to the point of you don't want to keep the Sabbath, you don't want to keep the holy days, but you want to wreak havoc amongst Hebrews. All you do is seek to gender strife amongst people and amongst Hebrews. You have no fruit on your tree, which, as we know, year to year, you could possibly be cursed and put to death, as Christ put the fig tree to death, saw it wasn't being fruitful. So I'm getting ready to touch on some serious stuff. I know I'm supposed to exhort you and encourage you today, but I'm going to exhort you to live right and stop playing with Abba Yah. You got anything to say, Brother D, before you read that?
No, just that you're right. That Jezebel spirit is just running rampant out here. This is like you said, it's 20 years that something has happened, and all of a sudden, you know, this is really affecting them, and they're upset. But then it affected them back there when it happened, because what they were looking for was fame and fortune, and they were willing to do
right.
anything that they need to do in order to achieve that. You know, so we know this
right.
isn't something that's sincere.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, that's called lust and covetousness, right?
Exactly, exactly. That's it. That's not in keeping with any of the commandments. And also, it's also kind of bearing false witness because, you know, some of it may have happened, they're embellishing up on it, and it wasn't bothering them at that time. Now, all of a sudden, they're lying and said it was such a bad thing for them and how it made them feel. You know, if you're willing to do whatever it takes to run after that money and to worship that money, well, then that's what the issue is. I mean, you were worshiping money. That's why you allowed this person to do what they did to you. I mean, because you have the option to walk away. You have the option to walk away and not get involved in any sin or any type of issues like that. You walk away and live your life. I mean, get a regular job. You don't have to be involved in all of this this wickedness they have in Hollywood and in the entertainment business. But you make a decision.
That's right. It takes two to tangle, brother. Two to tangle.
Exactly. Ezekiel 44, starting at verse 23 and 24. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. 24.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Hold on. Let's stop for a second. Let me stop you for a second at 23. This could be because 23 and 24 get pretty powerful. First assignment, even for us as teachers, for those of you who, you know, decided to start teaching, you know, you woke up 2 seconds ago and you're behind the computer, you're teaching. Let me go ahead and tell you about this, because I was listening to a lesson this week, and this really jumped out at me when I heard these two verses and these scriptures. I said, wow, this is like letting us know, once again, what I put down on the title of the show. There's no time to compromise. You're not allowed to compromise once you take this gospel, and that you must draw the lines, just as Moses did with Dathan and Korah and the rebellious ones in the wilderness, whoever's on the Lord's side. Y'all saw that movie. He said, teach my people the difference between holy and profane. What's profane? That's cursed. What's holy? That's set apart. People must be able to delineate the difference. If your main strategy as a listener, after you hear the truth, is to continue to blend into society, then you're not being taught properly. Your teacher is supposed to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And there must be a difference day and night between you and the world. And if your teacher is not teaching you that you must be different, look different, eat different, pray, walk different, talk different, then your teacher is more than likely a false teacher that's looking for worldly gain and monetary gain. this is so serious. Listener, I'm talking to you about your responsibility and about the teacher. I, as a teacher, should be teaching you how to discern between what's clean and unclean. I should be able to give you a precept so that it will cause you to look at something and say, nah, probably shouldn't touch that. Because the scripture said, touch not the unclean things of the world. That's not just the swine he's in reference to. He's in reference to all abominable things. If it's an abomination, you should have nothing to do with it. You know that homosexuality is an abomination? What does that mean? You should have nothing to do with those that operate in that lifestyle. They should not be participating in your personal life. I just brought it home for you. Just want to make it clear. And there are many other abominable things that you're not supposed to touch, and that's how your teacher is supposed to teach to you. Because I bet you that hurt, right? Yeah, I know it hurt, because probably some of you have a homosexual child living with you. Well, you need to deal with that. You probably have a friend who's a homosexual, and you're being patient with them, saying, I'm going to pray you out of this. No, you need to tell them where they're wrong and then back all the way up. Okay, Brother D.
Yeah, but you're right, and I totally agree with what you're saying. We can't, it's just like you can't say, well, I don't believe in Christmas, but, you know, you're sitting up there giving and receiving presents, got the Christmas tree and the lights up. Well, I don't believe in all this. I'm not worshiping this, but, you know, I'm just trying to keep the peace. You know, no, that's it. You got to be strong in these days. You got to say what it is you believe in and what you don't believe in. You can't participate. Don't fool yourself into thinking otherwise. Okay, Ezekiel 44, verse 24. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Now, is it some of the judgments?
I think you said all.
Keep the ones that you look in there and figure that, oh, I can do this one. You know, cherry pick. We can do that, right?
Cherry pick. There you go. Cherry picking. I'll just do this one. We don't have to do that. Well, I'm not there yet. You are, man, you playing with fire.
Exactly. Because you better get there because, you know, just like I said, no one knows what hour that Yeshua will be coming back. You don't want to be caught up short. No, I was working on
it. Yes, sir.
No, you better be getting into it right now, doing everything you can, trying to realize when you're not when you're getting outside of the commandments or the statutes of the law. You ask forgiveness and you right the ship.
You know, people know when they're making excuses, Brother D. Well, I was trying to get there, or I'm working on it, or, well, I have a problem, or my job said, or blah, blah, blah. Nah, man, when you really begin to get serious about your life and death and who Abba Yah is, because a lot of people haven't, this is the problem, a lot of people have never experienced his love or understand his mercy. They've never had a transformative experience, because that's the nicest side, because the wrath of Yah, you don't want to see. The wrath of Yah, you don't want to come into. You don't want to be laying up in the hospital bed with four casts on, talking about, man, give me one more chance, Father, I should have never. No. I told the story once before. And it was a Christian preacher, but trust me, it's happened to Hebrews too, because I know a couple of Hebrews that ended up dead, you know, left their wife, committed adultery, lost their minds, and found them dead, overdose. Christian pastor testified, Brother D, about how he had made up in his mind he was getting ready to go commit adultery that night. And while he was at work, working on the airplanes, he got struck by lightning.
Most high
Most high don't play. And see, how come everybody,
you.
wants to wait for it to happen to them before they understand this. He gives you warning.
Because if you're walking in this light of life, I'm sure you can look back and just think all the times this, you know, within the last month or so, you had to tell people, I don't celebrate these holidays. I don't celebrate these holidays because everybody and his brother is saying, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and your relatives and everything else. But as I go through this walk, I'm finding less and less of the people that know are sending me, and the people I know are sending me these salutations about Merry Christmas, because I really didn't get many at all from the people I know.
Right.
Because
and I still got
to realize,
I'll get it to you soon.
Yes. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Hey, let me point something out real quick. Verse 24. It said, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment. It meant that the priesthood, the Levites, your leaders, your teachers, when there's a controversy, immediately we stand in judgment. And we start judging the situation according to the statutes, laws, and commandments. So if the precept says that you're wrong, then that brother needs to be exiled, dealt with. That sister needs to be exiled or dealt with or changed. If the priest tells you, we don't have enough people telling the truth, and we don't have enough people that are righteous, are in righteous judgment. I'm talking about if you within the congregation and fellowship and you're dealing with people within your area and there's leadership, they should be able to tell you, tell one of the sisters that she shouldn't be dressed in a certain way, that that brother shouldn't have been talking to that sister on the phone, knowing he married. There's certain type of things. And we're supposed to stand immediately, mark those that cause division amongst us, all of these things. But more so, at the end of this verse, it said we're supposed to hallow all his Sabbaths. If you find yourself forsaking the assembling of yourself together with your brothers and sisters on a high holy day to be a loner, then you're breaking the statutes, laws, and commandments. Do you understand that when you don't keep the commandments, that's called sin, according to 1 John 3 and 4? If you're not keeping the holy days, you're in sin. And if you've made up in your mind that you're not going to keep them and you're not going to assemble with a congregation of people, then you have committed yourself to be in sin. And
yes, exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that all goes back to fearing Yah. You fear the Most High.
Yeah.
So that gives you the impetus to make sure that you do all you can to obey these laws, the statutes, and the commandments.
You know, here's my issue right here, Brother D. Hey, this verse right here, we're going to have to start teaching because we got a plethora of Christian pastors that are waking up and they plan with this truth, converting. They are not switching all the way over. They're not willing to get up on Sunday and say, okay, this is the last Sunday service. We'll be worshiping on Shabbat now. And I'm sorry. I used to be of the school that, oh, well, use wisdom and go slowly. No. You need to get up and tell them that this is not the day of worship. We don't celebrate Christmas. It's pagan. This is what he's saying. If you're going to call yourself a leader, you're woke and you're teaching, you need to draw the line and speak the truth now and stop playing with the people and saying, out of love, I'm going to be patient and give them time. I think that's wisdom. No, that's a death certificate for you because you've been given instructions. Too many Christian pastors on my Facebook page that know the truth, hit me in the back messenger, all that stuff, and then scared to bring it out because they want to keep getting them tithes and offering. And it's ridiculous. This is insanity. And you know what? They're a detriment to our people and to themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah, because if you're taking it upon yourself to lead the people and teach the people and you're not giving them the truth, well, that blood's going to be on your hands. You know, the Most High is going to hold you accountable for that because just like you said, you know, you got to leave the money alone. You got a big congregation or whatever, You announce to them, and you know what? This is what's really going on. We're going to be having a Sabbath on Saturday. And those who want to come with me, fine, we'll do it. But if you feel you can't, well, then, you know, let them go. Let them find another place on Sunday, because the people who really want to follow the Most High and please the Most High, they'll come with you when they hear the truth. But those that don't, they like being in Sunday. They want to go out to the club on Saturday, and so they get tired for this. You know, you gotta let them go to their strong delusions.
That's right. And but the problem is that we have been called by the Most High Yah, and we have an assignment upon us to cry out back and snap back at these Christian pastors and rebuke them sharply, says the scripture. Find that for me real quick, Brother D. Rebuke them sharply. Sharply.
Well,
there's a scripture that says just do a word search on rebuke them sharply.
Okay.
Even you, Sister Tamar, if you can find it, you can text me. But listen, because something is on my mind. Even if I were a Christian pastor, I would say, listen, Christmas and Easter, which comes from a start day, and Thanksgiving is not in the Bible. So I don't care what you do in your private life, but it's not of Yah. It's pagan. Look in Wikipedia. Even that will tell you. I would tell my congregation, we're going to start worshiping according to the Sabbath on Saturdays and keep it holy.
Okay,
and if
Titus
want to come together on Sunday, give me one second. And then out of wisdom, I would say, well, on Sundays, we're going to have praise and worship and raise money for the community like they did in the book of Acts, where they came together on the first day of the week, raised money for the preachers and the community and took care of everybody, because you're not supposed to deal in money on the day of worship. So, Pastor, out of wisdom, you need to make be known that Sunday is not the day of worship. You are not teaching people the truth. And if you continue, I got to keep rebuking you sharply. I did it once, and I'm going to have to continue, because you're leading Yah's people astray. And he got me in the earth in this hour as a servant to him. And if I don't tell you, I got blood on my hands. And so we have to understand that this is not to be played with. This is a matter of life and death. Go ahead, Brother D.
Yeah, well, and just the idea of the word, the Sabbath, we're talking about the last day. I'm talking about the first day. These preachers need to let their congregation know that, you know, Sunday is the first day. That's not what the Most High put in front of us. And I have Titus 1. I'm going to do 13 and 14. Titus 1, 13 and 14.
Yeah, this is Tamar just said it too. Go ahead.
This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Exactly.
And ain't it something that he said, Jewish fables?
Yep.
I love that he said that, because we not Jewish. We are of the bloodline Hebrew descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are not Jewish. Jewish fables.
They
pointed it out right there. Most people don't even see it. And doctrines of man. But read it again from the top of 13.
Okay, 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving
We're
14.
Doing
not
it
giving
for heed. They might be sound in the faith. We're doing this for a purpose, because you're not sound in faith. Your faith is low. Your faith is low. If you're not willing to take Yah at his word and just drop everything and take a risk, you scared to lose your members. You scared to lose your offering and tithes. You scared to lose your job. Because you talking about, well, I need my job to Sabbath. You know, we've been guilty of saying, I've heard too many testimonies, even on the Hebrew One show, of brothers that actually left their job and went and found a better job within the next week or two. People are really scared of faith. They really are. They're really scared of faith.
And Brother V, let's make it clear, we're not telling anybody to quit your job and so that you can't take care of yourself, but look for something that you can do, or jobs you can do that works with these days. I mean, like I said, no one's telling you to quit your job and you know, just up and not do anything, because that's not wise. But like I said, search for something.
That's not what we're saying.
See if you can rectify that.
The thing is, that's not what we're saying, and I concur. The thing is that don't get lax and say, well, I got work on Saturday. No, you need to start looking for another position in the company, or start looking for another job while you have that job. And let them know that, listen, I'm not going to do this. While I was looking for another job, I took 2 weeks of vacation all on Saturdays. I said, okay, you won't give me Saturday off? I'm going to string my vacations out for 14 days of Saturdays. You know how far that stressed out?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, you do that. I'm sorry. You do that for the Most High. You know, do what you can.
I did that.
You know, like you
I
said,
did that
even
most
if
time.
You have to, yeah, you stretch out those vacations. There's something you can do. You do that for him and show him that you are trying to be sound in the faith.
And the reason, listen to 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Bottom line, this is the confidence. Some people aren't even confident. And you know why they're not confident? Because they're not hearing sound doctrine. You know why? Because we're allowing false teachers to preach a weak doctrine to the people, because we're not rebuking them sharply for their erroneous messages. People telling people, you got the wrong feast day, you got the wrong time, and you ain't even keeping the Sabbath. So I got that in mind too. But at the same time, I'm thinking about these Christian pastors that have just woke up, and they've got on Hebrew gear, and they got on fringes, and they're talking about Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Man, I've pulled a Nehemiah on you, because you are deceiving the people. You're sending them two messages, and that is against Yah. And it's going to begin to cost you your life in this last hour, because he does not need that confusion. He is not the author of confusion.
Yeah, Brother V, my dad used to call that half-stepping. You know, you're not getting totally with it. It's called that half-stepping. If you're going to get into the truth, especially if you're teaching, I mean, that's such a, strong thing that you've taken on. I mean, an important position that you're trying to teach. You're trying to teach the Hebrews, or you try to teach them and give them lessons and the truth. Well, you can't take that lightly. I mean, you can't be saying, this is who we are. We're the Hebrews. We can still celebrate Christmas. We can still, have church on Sunday. I mean, you know, you got to go all the way. You're teaching the flock. That's such an important thing that the Most High has allowed you to do. So you have to do it right.
I feel that every time the Most High taps me on the shoulder that, don't, he'll tell me in a minute. He's had mercy on me now. I've made mistakes, but he'll be like, this is very serious. And he did that to me a couple of days ago. We received a financial blessing out of thin air, and I was shouting and rejoicing over that. But, Brother D, before I could finish rejoicing, I got a greater blessing than that. I got a phone call from a brother who's a very well-known brother in the Bay Area, because he's a recording artist and all that kind of stuff. And he called me and said, just to sum it up, you know, I've been in Baptist church 40 years my whole life. And he said, I'm ready to come into this truth all the way. When is your next gathering and holy day? I and my brother will be there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It humbled me to the point where I was just like, and the Most High said, keep doing what I told you to do. because you already know that that same day or a couple of days before, we had one of the brothers who broke ranks that's trying to cause dissent amongst us. You know, that was trying to get to me. He was like, don't even worry about that. I got that. And then he turned around and added to our fellowship some brothers that it ain't even about that. It just been watching from afar and said, well, we want to come in. We saw the Feast of Dedication broadcast. We want to be at the next gathering. All praises to the Most High.
Right.
That so much even superseded the financial blessing. I forgot about the financial blessing. You know, I was just like, wow. I was just like, this is no joke to handle this word. You're being watched. Your faithfulness is being watched. You don't have to pull back. Because I know that they've heard me speak sharply and rebuke sharply. But he said that that's what makes the difference in you, he said, because I'm being fed by the way you're teaching and talking. Because he was there when I spoke. I went to it. Let me tell you people something. Y'all probably say I'm crazy. I went to a Baptist church on Sunday morning and spoke. And I spoke on 1 John 2, 3, and 4, Matthew 7 and 22. First I said, Matthew 7 and 22 talked about, depart from me, I never knew you. And then I told them the only way you're going to get to know him is 1 John 2, 3, and 4. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you say you love him and don't keep the commandments, you're a liar. I told them, folks, the commandments have never been done away with. And you won't get into the kingdom until you start keeping them with the Revelations 22 and 14. Blessed are those that do the commandments. And after that, I just shook the dust and wiped my hands, let them know it ain't by grace and a pork sandwich that you're getting in. No, you better start keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. Come back to Yah.
They didn't bum rush you out the door?
I think they got a contract on me right now. They're looking for me right now.
Yeah, I know what,
no,
you,
know
what you mean.
Let me be honest with you, though. It was received so well because the Ruach HaKadosh came in and confirmed it to where it was like, it does say that. And the spirit was so thick, it was like repentance. I've been wrong. So, but go ahead.
Yep. And just like it says, our fathers have told us lies. You know?
Right.
But yeah, I think about that too whenever we come on. You know, I think about the fact that, you know, I'm you know, here talking about the Most High and trying to give the word of the Most High, and I don't want to misstep. I don't want to say what I shouldn't be saying, because I think of the Most High and how important it is what we're doing.
Yes, sir. Let's hit this final verse to bring it home. And I hope that these people are being encouraged.
I hope so
too. Leviticus, the 20th chapter and the 25th verse.
Leviticus 20 and 25. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean. So swine is in the clean beast. And between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. So, like I said, you're not supposed to be out there eating no hoghead cheese. You're not supposed to be out there eating you know, possum. Any of the stuff that the people tell you, oh, that's good eating.
Man, we know from a physical standpoint that it's a detriment to our bodies, high blood pressure. But this verse right here is letting you know that it's an abomination to your soul. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or fowl. He's saying don't abominate your soul eating a pork rib. That's why when people eat this food, they act a certain way. We don't realize how people are acting foul because they're eating foul food. You see this, Brother D?
I see that. Because, you know, we look at all the Hebrews in this country that are, you know, not only obese, they, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes is strong in our community now, but you go back to those Hebrews back in Africa that's still practicing the the commandments and the ways of the Most High, that's not an issue with those people back there, not at all, because they're not eating that
right.
stuff that's bad for their bodies.
Right. It's bad for your body, but if there's a spirit in this food that contaminates your soul. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit. It is attributing to the ignorance on our people. It may sound comical, but eating a package of pork skins and drinking something that's filled with pork and eating crab and lobster and shrimp, it's causing our people to act a certain way within their souls. It's affecting our people to the soul, to the core. This is why half of them can't even hear us. This transformation must be serious. That's what we're dealing with. You sit up in a barbecue joint watching black folks eat ribs, they're abominating their souls. Even as much as I told you yesterday, I'm sitting next to Ken folks yesterday slapping down some bacon, having, as I told my wife, the most ridiculous conversation I've heard in a long time. I felt like my IQ dropped 10 points. But now I see you sitting up here eating half a cup of swine, slapping on bacon and all that. Matter of fact, I got sick when I got home. Now, I had eggs and salmon. And my wife said, you know, they may have put that salmon on the same grill that they cooked that pork on.
This is true.
Wow. I got sick when I got home. Sick. But I never tripped on this verse like I just read it now. Let me emphasize. It said, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated you from you as unclean. But that thing that stands out is I never saw souls. I already knew it was bad for your flesh and it was a sin, but your soul. But let's go to verse 26 to finish it up.
Okay, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, Most High, am holy, and have served you from and severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Set apart.
That's deep. He said, he didn't just say set apart, Brother D. He said, I severed you. I cut you away. It's like cutting a piece of meat off a bone. I severed. I broke you away. It's like snapping a chicken leg off the whole body to eat it. I severed you. I snatched you away. That's a peculiar people right there.
Exactly. Exactly.
So with that understanding, we understand why ain't none of this to be played with. None of this, you Christian sanity pastors on Sunday trying to act like these white pastors and the Catholic Church and following that dogma, religious dogma and doctrine, and trying to keep Sabbath and Sunday worship, keep Christmas and Passover. You are a hazard to our people. You are not teaching properly. And I rebuke you in the name of Yah and say that you better repent and get it right. And if you're sitting around a teacher that's making you feel good, then you're not listening to the right teacher. You need to know that we need to get in this thing, be in, all in or die. That's the way it is. So I want to give you warning. I know some of you are growing in the faith, but if you've been taught it, then you need to conform to it. If you hear it, then you need to start doing it. Don't hear it and not do it. Woe be unto you. Those of you who are doing it, you will reap the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 12. Those are the blessings.
Unless,
any final comments?
Let's just get to the bottom of it. What they're serving and worshiping is money. You know, that's the God, because that's why they don't want to separate themselves from these acts that they're doing that are going against the commandments and committing sin, which we know is transgressions of the law. And so, I mean, so how can the laws be dealt away with when you still say that, yeah, we don't want to live in sin? Well, if you're transgressing the law, you're in sin. But other than that, I just want to thank the Hebrews that decided to join us and pray that the Most High bless you and keep you healthy.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you being on here. May you stay healthy in that grand retirement time that you're enjoying down there. You like to keep rubbing in our face.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm just pointing out what you have to look forward to.
It's all good. Well, I wanted to say, and you can chime in on this. The reason I'm passionate about this is because I was doing some research and study on this temple that's going to be resurrected, and the fact that our Savior's not going to return until the Antichrist is already on the scene. And I don't know what y'all think is going to be happening while he's on the scene. Y'all think we're just going to be still here on the radio kicking it? No, they're going to persecute the Hebrews. They're going to be after us. And these lessons, don't think it's not Google email. It's not in the archives. They're going to know who we are. Okay? They got FEMA camps, all that. So I got to get you to get your faith up so you'll be prepared. No matter how I have to see him, I'm going to see him and I'm going to make it into the kingdom. And that means that you're willing to die for him. But there's such a joy in living for him. And that's the best thing you've got going on this earth. These people in this earth, they only live for these holidays and the reason to party. The holidays just ended. So the next thing me and the wife was talking about, they're waiting on Super Bowl. And after Super Bowl, Valentine's Day. And then when's the next big party after that? When's the next big party? Looking for a reason to party because they're scared to die because they're in their kingdom. We're awaiting our kingdom. And if you really about it, you're ready to get there by any means necessary. And so believe me, when Satan manifests as the Antichrist and this whole world is worshiping him and taking the chip, I'm going to make sure that you know that you're going to have to say no and be willing to not compromise and draw the line. So I got to deal with these preachers that's telling you otherwise. So we're trying to make it in. There's no rapture. Some of us won't see death. Some of us might have to see death. Some of us can be protected. Some of us can be dead like Daniel, the lions did. He's going to carry us into the wilderness. He's going to get us through this. But not you who have stepped in. No, it's not going down like that. Let's commit to the Father like we love it.
Yeah, just like I said, people be marrying, giving in marriage, they, just like in the days of Noah, when he comes upon
us. Well, all praises to the Most High for this time. So this has been Inspirational Wednesday. Thank you for listening, having listened to the Heart of the Hebrew Woman. And we'll see if we'll get a chance to do Straight No Chaser, Most High willing. There's my time. It's my 92nd time, so I'm going to go ahead and chime out and say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. The truth is a journey, not a destination. Todah Rabah, Brother D, and
Shalom
to the brothers and sisters and the listeners. Shalom.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.